25 or 30?
It's a call for help.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What, the podcast?
Yeah.
You guys don't have any other unofficial holidays? I could only find a few.
Yeah, do you guys have favorite unofficial holidays?
St. Urholz Day. It's a fake holiday in Minnesota where the Finns go out and get drunk. It's the day after St. Patrick's Day.
Right. That's one where St. Urho, I spoke about it when it was St. Patrick's Day. Did you hear the one about the letter with no stamp on it?
No.
Don't worry. You wouldn't get it.
Oh. Okay, ready?
Go for it.
I found the worst postage joke.
Uh-oh, go for it.
What does it mean when the post office flies their flag half-mast? They're hiring.
Oh. Okay, one more countdown. Okay? One more countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm James Wygant, Associate Editor of the American Stamp Dealer and Collector, and you're listening to Stamp Show Here Today.
It's hard to send up. It's hard to send up.
Welcome to Stamp Show Here Today, podcast number 30. And for those of you joining us, we are celebrating Cinco de Mayo today.
Nobody told me.
We're not celebrating Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, we are.
It is Cinco de Mayo.
It is Cinco de Mayo.
No, we're celebrating something else. It just happens to be Cinco de Mayo. The fake holiday.
Yep, which doesn't even really mean anything.
Well, also, I thought it happened later in the month. I didn't realize this year it happened on May 5th.
Yeah, usually it's a lot later than that.
Yeah, I thought it was after Mother's Day or something. Which, by the way, everybody... write your Mother's Day cards, get them in the mail. Actually, if you're listening to this, it's too late. Send your mother an I'm sorry, I forgot you on Mother's Day card.
Damn it, I gotta do that.
All right, well, I'm sitting here with Scott, Cash, Lloyd, and Jeff, and I'm your host, Jessica. You can find us on Facebook at Stamp Show Here Today and on Twitter at Stamp Show HT. Tell your friends they can find us on iTunes, Podbay, and Stitcher. Let's talk about stamps.
And always remember, stamp collecting happens when we dream together.
Oh boy, that is so stupid.
So this week we'll be talking about stamp news. The first stamp turns 175, the penny black. Hashtag stamp stories, hashtag stamp worthy, and unofficial holidays. And our expert topic of the week is British plate varieties and the penny black.
Oh, that sounds interesting. I can't wait and see how it turns out.
Darn fly speckers.
Yep.
So stamp news, the first stamp in world history, the Great Britain penny black, turns 175 years old on May 6, 2015.
Well, hold on, stop. Why does it turn 175 years old on May 6th instead of May 1st?
Well, it says why on the next line.
Well, no, it was first commercially available on May 6th, but it was...
No, other way around.
It was issued May 1st and was available for use on May 6th.
Yes.
That's when they first let you actually use it as a member of the public.
Is this like where the Queen gets to pick her own birthday?
Yeah.
Go ask Wikipedia. And Lynn's. Lynn's published it this way, too.
Yeah. And if you live in Great Britain, you can see the Google Doodle celebrating this great event.
And by the way, the 175th anniversary is either the Demi-Semi-Sept-Centennial or the Doron's Bicentennial. They're both. So if you want to put those on your cachets, there you go.
Demi-Semi-Septennial?
Demi-semi-septennial.
Sept-centennial.
Sept-centennial.
I got an easier word for you. Geek.
For people who love Latin long sentences.
There's a lot of Latin Americans out there who were probably sitting around just going, I need to learn more Latin.
No, they probably all had too much tequila anyway.
Not yet. It's still before. Well, it's I guess it is drinking time. Let's start hitting it.
No. Cash has a weird bottle of dubious yellow liquid at the table as it is.
Yeah, let's see what this sounds like in half an hour.
Okay, and in an unlikely place, I found a little blip about it in the Trader Joe's weekly circular, and it says, as always free and worth every penny, Trader Joe's really puts its heart and soul and hands and face into each and every fearless flyer. And it's a picture of a guy with his hands and face.
Like in a stock.
Yeah, in a stock with the stamp in the upper right-hand corner. Whether they knew it was the anniversary or not, there could be someone in their midst that's a stamp collector.
Hey, there are between 2 million and 5 million U.S. stamp collectors.
Yeah, well,
so
we hide very well.
You mean we blend in with normal people?
No, actually, we don't. Not at all.
Not according to the normal people.
That's true.
So our hashtag stamp stories, we're going to be celebrating unofficial holidays. So on May 25th is Geek Day. On May 6th is International No Diet Day.
Woohoo!
And the reason I'm bringing this up is one of our favorite days, Star Wars Day, which is May the 4th. So there are a few commemorative stamps out there for unofficial holidays, like the invention of the waffle cone. And I remember a chicken stamp that had a fake anniversary.
There you go.
On it.
Yes. The anniversary of nothing ever happening in 1948. The 100-year anniversary.
So we want to hear about your favorite unofficial holidays that you think deserve a stamp with the hashtag stamp or the hashtag stamp
Cinco
stars.
De Mayo. Where's our music? There you go.
Jessica's going to start throwing stuff at us.
Oh, yeah.
I think Cinco de Mayo is an official, unofficial holiday.
It commemorates something, but not their independence, which a lot of drunk people assume.
It commemorates the French army landing in Mexico to collect a debt. That technically, it's kind of wishy-washy. The Spanish actually owed. It's kind of wondering whether the French or the Mexicans owned it. Anyway, the French guys came up and said, you owe us money. And the Mexicans said, here's your money, kapow, kapow. And the French said, this isn't worth it. Half of our guys are dead because of stupid disease. So they loaded back on their boats, float back over. And I guess debt forgiveness.
Google Battle of Puebla.
Battle of Puebla?
Battle of Puebla. Yeah, the Mexicans came out far superior because, like I said, the French died of disease more than bullets.
Well, you know why the French have civil wars, right? It's so they can win one.
That's pretty bad.
Music!
Did they both sides of the French Revolution go, sacre bleu, we suck him down!
I want to get a giclée of the Battle of Puebla. Put it up on the wall.
Okay. to go with this guy?
Yeah.
What, Jessica? You look embarrassed. You're turning red.
Come on, dance. It's dance time.
So, okay, we're having way too much fun.
So, updates. Kaz, what do you have to say today?
I have one correction. Last time I commented that you have to protect your stamp collections from silverfish. I mentioned that silverfish were in World of Warcraft. I know they're not in World of Warcraft. I know they're in Minecraft.
My kids
play Minecraft. I play World of Warcraft. There's no silverfish in World of Warcraft. That's it.
And the admission.
And that's why Geek Day is in May.
Suddenly in 1983, the guy from Revenge of the Nerds goes, nerds.
That's a question only you and 2 to 3 million other stamp collectors can answer. I can't help you. I'm doing other stuff.
Oops.
So I had one listener question posed to us on Twitter. They had a question about a US 252 with a blank triangle on the right side, left has it all, and three dots and lines.
The left one is made up of three dots and lines.
Right.
Yes. This is a 2-cent red stamp with Washington on it with triangles up in the corners.
So what's he looking at?
Scott, I don't know. I'm drunk.
A stamp.
You're going to have to carry this one.
What was it again?
It said 252.
I missed. Where are you at?
Oh, I
she just
it
found
in.
It.
Oh, you just found it and
yeah.
blindsided
it, it
me.
It came while we were sitting here, yeah.
Oh, my God. Something not in the script. Hit
yeah.
the music.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
I guess you need a catalog.
Uh-oh. We're going to get a catalog. Oh, we wait for the catalog.
So yeah, this the number 252 was issued to commemorate the Battle of Puebla.
Oh,
the triangles in the corners are reminiscent of the Spanish or the Mexicans and the French lining up against each other.
Triangles usually associated with tortilla chips.
Oh, that's
chips.
A good point.
That's
tortilla
it.
Chips. Tortilla chips.
The dots are salsa marks. I'm getting too many weird looks. Do we have an answer?
Yes.
I know there's a variety with the triangles.
Oh.
I'm just trying to find it so I don't have to have a correction.
Oops.
You never have corrections. You're
yeah,
perfect.
Right. Yeah, right.
So you have...
It's because I look things up beforehand.
So you have a red stamp with two tortilla chips up in the corners.
With or without salsa spots.
With or without salsa spots.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it in the catalog right now.
Oh, it's not in there. It's obviously a very, very rare printing variety or a damaged stamp.
So what was it, Jessica?
The 252 with a blank triangle on the right side. Left side has it all and three dots and lines. He didn't post a picture. He just described it.
Weird.
Well, it's easy to picture. You got a tortilla chip on one side and nothing on the other. Somebody ate it.
Ah.
So it's like a printing error.
It would probably be a printing error, an inking error. If it was from the top right corner of the sheet, that corner might have had overly dry ink when it was printed. Could be a scuff. Yeah, somebody might have scraped off the tortilla chip. There are a number of ways that it could occur, none of which are going to be an actual variety that will appear in the catalog.
Moral of the story, send pictures, not just words, because that's just weird. We can't tell what it is.
Okay, so our expert topic of the week is British stamps and varieties, and of course the penny black. So what defines a plate variety?
Well, we have Lloyd here, who is the expert on this category. I mean, he is acknowledged worldwide.
All the way across this table.
You've got people in Romania listening to you right now, so hit it.
It's real simple. It's something that's a flaw on the plate, not part of the process or any incompetence on the part of the printer. It's on the plate and occurs consistently on that part of the plate. And sometimes they are like, they get damaged. Like there's a 1.5 penny, I think it's number 89, or excuse me, 34. It's 1.5 cent red British stamp, and they used to list an OPPC variety, and it turns out that it was never OPPC. It was OPP broken O. And so they quit listing it because, you know, it was damaged over the course of time and not on every part of the plate. You know, usually it has to be there from the beginning of the plate run to the end.
And it's caused by the engravers, but it can also be caused by somebody dropping a tortilla chip on the plate and scratching it or whatever else too, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think we have a lot of U.S. listeners, and you can kind of equate that to something that they might know about, which would be the broken hat on the 2-cent Colombian stamp.
Except that has even some people wondering about it, whether they're progressive or not. So...
Right, but it's on the printing plate.
Mm-hmm.
It's a printing flaw. It's not something under inked or anything. It's something that either damaged the plate or got stuck on the plate that is consistent and is consistently reproduced.
Well, it's like the 252 we were just talking about with the missing Dorito chip. It is probably the only one, or maybe, you know, a couple of them were printed on the same time. But if you looked at that plate position over five different sheets of stamps, you know, that's the only one that would have that variety, because that's the only one where the ink is missing. Everything else was printed normally. Supposedly, you know, we can conject.
Does that make that one that the person's talking about rare then?
Or well, it makes it rare.
Doesn't necessarily make it desirable.
Exactly.
Nobody knows about it, nobody wants it kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are people who like errors, freaks, and oddities. I mean, again, you know, like we said last time, the more freaky, the better.
I don't believe as a general rule, though, plate varieties include plates that wear as they've been used. That's something, it's worn plate.
It's a different type of plate variety.
Mm.
So are there any famous ones out there?
Oh, extra flagpole on the Silver Jubilees.
By the way, as a correction, who's on the Silver Jubilees? I believe last
George time, the Fifth.
Okay, we said.
Wow, that was quick.
Did we say George the Fifth last week?
It was a debate.
Okay, now you have the answer from the expert.
Yeah, it's George the Fifth, and it is the most collected variety that I know of. And if you look very carefully on the stamps of Gambia and Malta, on some of the stamps, after they noticed it, there were late printings from Gambia and Malta, and they went through and they scraped off the part of the flagpole that's above the castle. But on the plate, it actually, the flaw goes all the way into what would be the ground. It actually does look like a plate flaw, and they did not scrape off the part that is in part of the castle, so you can still see half of the flagpole sitting there, and they're extremely scarce. Looking for them for years, I've seen two, one of which I own, and I've never seen one for sale.
And the cool thing is the name of them. It's extra flagpole missing.
Or extra flagpole remove.
Or I like missing better.
Yeah, well,
extra
like you say,
flagpole missing.
Okay. But half of it is still there.
Yeah.
So are they valuable at all or sought after?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the one from on the high value of the Falkland set is a $3,000-$4,000 item. But you can buy them used for as little as $20. And if you look at lots, I found that the best way to find them is in lots. I've got one on a first day cover from Malta.
You know, but what is the differential in value? Like how much?
Huge.
It's
big. I mean, it turns a 50-cent, half-cent Malta stamp into a $40 or $50 item anyway. And that particular one occurs in the left-hand column, second stamp from the bottom. So you'll see them in corners, blocks of four quite a bit. But there are like four or five different plate varieties listed in Gibbons. Well, there's four or five flagpole types in Gibbons. And then there's one with kites and logs, another one with dots and dashes. And they're all in the back of Gibbons. But there are specialty items that, like there's one that's called Two Moons, which occurs five stamps above the extra flagpole. So it's just exactly as rare as the extra flagpole. But since nobody cares, look for one, you'll find it.
That one has no value comparatively.
The same thing happens with U.S. number 11s. There's a recut medallion, and that stamp is incredibly rare. It's on plate number 6, which is a rare plate. And then on the exact same plate, there is another flaw, which is a big gash on the neck. They're exactly the same number, but the recut medallion, I believe it lists for $750 or $1,000 or something wacko like that. And the gash on the neck, they don't even bother listing.
Well, after I found the Two Moons flaw on that high-value Falkland stamp that I mentioned before, I had to look it up, and there are a possibility of no more than 87 stamps. They only printed 87 sheets of the stamp plate.
That's a short lifespan.
It's a valuable stamp, high face value to begin with, and I don't think it paid a rate. It was just there because they needed a fourth stamp.
So they made a plate, a whole plate, and then only made 87 stamps or 87 presses.
That was on, you know, that the thing is that the vignette where the extra flagpole is different than the Falklands plate. The Falklands comes with the frame, but the extra flagpole is on the vignette.
Mm-hmm.
So they may have used you know, who knows? Like I said, they used at least two plates for the extra for the high value.
So do collectors need to worry about fakes or forgeries of these?
Yeah, but they're usually really easy to detect because when people add that flagpole, they don't go all the way into the ground. They just have the thing sticking up in the sky, just kind of floating there. So
we see some plate varieties where people add dots and stuff like that, especially on the imperf Washington Franklin, the Washington offset imperfs.
The nose dots.
Yeah, nose dots.
So they add their freckles in or whatever?
Sort of.
Yeah.
What was it? He's printed with rows of three dots, and then they'll add the fourth at the end?
Yeah, there's like a little gap that defines one variety from the other one, and a person will just put a little red dot there, and all of a sudden it's a different variety.
I've seen a number where they match the ink color in normal light. They match the ink color quite well, but when you look at it under ultraviolet light and other light frequencies, it's pretty obvious.
Well, it's hard to line it up exactly where it's supposed to go, too.
Well, it's not that it's out of line, but the ink is different ink than what was printed. And so the difference of the two, when you look at it, is different.
They reflect UV wavelength light at different frequencies, so one looks lighter than the other, and it shouldn't. Tom, actually, a long time ago, had one of the fakes in there, and then he went and borrowed, I think, Scotty grabbed one of your references, and we looked at them side by side, and sure enough, the regular one, it's all the same color under UV. Then you put the fake one in the VSC, and it's light red, light red, light red, black, right where they put the extra one. So it's very obvious when you're looking at it correctly, but that's not something that the average person is going to have at home to be able to use either. So,
well, for those of you who, this is not really a plate variety, but it's two very often confused stamps from Great Britain that I'll give you. I'm going to give away an expert secret.
Uh-oh.
And that's the difference between the 88 and the 89. You'll sit there and drive yourself buggy counting whether it's 14 dots or 16 dots.
I remember that stamp.
But it's very easy. Take your glass and look at the zero or the center of the O in one penny. If it's flattened at the sides, it's a common stamp. If it's flattened at the poles, it's the rare one. You can do it with the naked eye in 1 second.
Uh-huh. Are you telling me somebody was going crazy trying to count dots?
That's the way they're listed in the catalog, but just look at the middle of the O.
That's a good one.
And now the valuable stamp is probably going to drop by 50% because everybody's going to just go, ha-ha.
What other, do you guys have favorite plate flaw varieties yourselves? I like the bridge over Niagara Falls one myself.
That's a cool one.
Well, we're talking about British stamps here, not U.S. stamps.
We were talking about U.S. Cash brought up 11s.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Meh.
I brought up Cinco de Mayo, too. Music!
Yeah. No.
Oh, man.
It'd take too long to dig that out.
Well, what is my favorite British plate variety? I think it's got to be the Australian Rue with the broken foot.
Broken leg?
Broken leg, yeah.
Yeah, a six-cent kangaroo.
Six penny.
What happened to it?
It's just a consistent plate variety where
he broke his foot.
The foot has a little gap in it. It's like the foot is not connected to the leg.
Oh, so it's a severed foot variety.
Severed foot variety, yeah, that's a good one.
Ooh.
But actually, on that whole first, second, and third issue of Australia, there's a lot of plate varieties on a lot of the George heads and a lot of the kangaroos.
Once again, we're generally speaking talking about a zillion plate varieties that nobody really cares about.
Well, there are probably 20 of them that are very rare or very sought after. And like you said, you know, there's 200 other ones that people really don't care about.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of controversial ones. Like there's one with the princess crying. Do you know that one where there's a tear under the eye of the...
Oh, is that the Canadian?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from the Silver Jubilee set as well.
How does that one work?
Is it a tear because she killed somebody or is it a tear because she's crying?
I think she's just overwhelmed.
I think there's just a dot on the plate that, you know, somebody did not notice. And there's also on Silver Jubilees of South Africa, there's some dots around the head, a gash in ear, a cleft skull, and some...
Good grief.
Yeah. There's let's see, I think it's Nauru, the B in Jubilee has a split on the top, which occurs on all four stamps as well. But it's,
I think, you know, the Canada number one shows a Bieber smoking. Oh man, I brought that one. I brought that one to a crash.
That's great.
Don't bring up past episode, I guess, is...
yeah, I guess. Previous topics.
I'm drunk. I have an excuse.
Oh, boy.
Music! That's not music.
There's music for it. That's great.
Now, Australia has a lot. Obviously, Great Britain or colonies have a huge range. Mm-hmm. I think that... whenever somebody makes a huge number of stamps quickly, they're going to have plate varieties.
Well, that always leads to errors. That's why we have the C3A.
Yeah, but like the crown colonies had their key plates.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, Glover flaws.
Yeah.
Split A's, indented frames. Those I particularly like. And also Rhodesia, the double heads. There's a variety where there's a gash in the queen's ear that occurs on all denominations throughout the set.
Because the center was printed by a separate plate than the frame.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Glover flaws occur on Gambia, Seychelles, supposedly on St. Helena. I've never seen one.
Well, what's...
Name, Cayman Islands.
Name a flaw that is so large that it should have been detected and removed quickly, but it wasn't.
There is a 2.5 cent rue where the one in 2.5 pence is completely missing. It's just a,
oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, and that one is extremely rare. I found one in a dealer's stock and paid like $4 for it. And I sold it to an auctioneer later that day for $423 in spite of the fact that it was off-center, rounded corner, and stained.
Yeah,
that one is kind of obvious.
Obviously, the more obvious, the less the press run.
I think one of the ones that I like the Ascension set, the Mountaineer flaw.
Clef Mountain?
Is it Ascension? It's
you're talking about the ship set?
No.
Oh, then it's
the later set.
Not that one I'm unfamiliar with.
Then they made huge number of flaws with maps. There's wrong maps on a lot of the stamps.
Yeah, Falklands. They're actually even the varieties are common.
Yeah, and they screwed up on them so much that they said, "Ah, screw it. Nobody's going to know that this is the 23rd parallel and not the 32nd parallel."
But that's different, though. That's like a factual error, then, at that point, isn't it?
Yeah, that would be more like errors on stamps. Well, that's true. That wouldn't be a plate flaw.
That's not a plate variety per se.
Yeah. Okay. But there are some plate flaws where. What's the Ascension one is not a plate flaw, right?
Which one?
They have like broken letters and stuff like that.
No, on the Ascension, the three most collected are the Cleft Mountain, Torn Flag, and Broken Mainmast.
Oh, okay.
And they occur on all values as well. And also St. Helena Ascension, the same set, because they use the same vignette. But later stuff, I'm completely at sea. And like there's an extra flagpole on like Antigua's Charles and Diana wedding anniversary or wedding series that,
oh boy,
skyrockets a 50 cent stamp all the way up to $2.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a question that I find fascinating from a philosophical standpoint.
Uh-oh.
How do you become an expert in this field?
Practice, practice, practice. Declare yourself to be one.
That's, I think, pretty much is it. You are an expert when you declare yourself an expert.
Isn't that how that works for some places?
Well,
it's hard to not name names, but like the APS, or there's one of those groups that will let you look at stuff if you claim, I am an expert in this field.
Well, I differentiate between small E expert and capital E expert. A small E expert, you determine when you're a small E expert. Other people determine when you're a capital E expert. So if somebody says, yeah, Lloyd, you know a lot about this stuff, you're an expert, then you're an expert. And if you say, yeah, I know a lot about this stuff, I've read a lot, I'm a small E expert.
It's like street knowledge versus
Well, the next Book of Secret is going to have a whole thing on how to become an expert.
Well, that's just not fair. Then this is giving it away.
Well, you know, it's coming in August. You're going to see another bumper at the end.
Why buy
brought to you by the Book of Secrets and Book of Secrets Volume 2. For $20, you can get them both.
Why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? I mean, hey.
I heard that someplace before.
That's been all over the place.
That's a weird reference.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Why expertise when you can learn to do it yourself? That was the tie-in.
Why buy a car when you can walk to Missouri on your own? No?
No.
Why walk to Missouri when you can ride a cow on your own?
I think
a free cow?
Yeah. I think we're done here.
Okay, you want to open our...
Yeah, let me take one more swig here.
Uh-oh.
Come on, Cinco de Mayo inverted airplane sheet. Here it comes, here it comes, here it comes.
Oh, what is it?
It is normal.
Oh.
Okay, you can email us at stampshowhere@gmail.com, Twitter, stampshowht, Facebook, Stamp Show Here Today, and our website, www.stampshowheretoday.com, with your questions and comments. You can now leave your questions and comments on our Google Voice answering machine anytime, country code 1-949-873-4298. There's also a link to our Google Voice on our webpage so you can make the call from your computer. And on that note, keep collecting.
Hello there, this is Chad Snee. I'm the editor of Lynn Stamp News and the Scott Publishing Company, and you're listening to Stamp Show Here Today.
This episode of Stamp Show Here Today is brought to you by the Philatelic Book of Secrets, the book that teaches you about repurfs, regums, color varieties, and much more. Get yours for $10 at www.philatelicsecrets.com today.
She wrote upon it, return to sender.